Good morning.
Good morning.
I see a lot of familiar faces and a lot of faces that I don't know. And so if I haven't met you yet, my name is Katie Nolennan, and I'm your seminarian. I've been spending the last year and a half in Sewanee at the School of Theology in the South. And you've sent me there, so thank you for supporting me and my family. And we have a chance to come back and visit our family this Christmas, and that includes you. So thank you for welcoming us back, and we're really glad to be here with you this morning. In John's gospel today, he starts it out taking us back to a time before light. As an experiential learner myself, I am so thankful for the analogies and metaphors our gospel authors use to explain God, especially when it uses the natural order of our world. And today we are given light. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." Our creation starts with light. Light and darkness are separated, and we have a day, the start of time. The cycle of light and dark doesn't just happen in the course of a day, but also in the course of a year and in the course of our lifetime. We are constantly cycling through periods of darkness and light. Around this time of year, the Northern Hemisphere has been missing its time with the light. Our days are shorter. Typically, the weather is cooler. We become tired as we have to use more of our own store of energy to get through the cold, dark days. Some of us experience melancholy. All of a sudden, we can't get everything done in a day that we set out to do. We have a hard time setting aside our halfway done to-do lists as we give in to the darkness of the night. There's also a lot of pressure this time of year to be constantly happy. Our world around us has been sending us a message that a perfect Christmas is filled with lots of presents, a big meal, and lots of family. If we're not able to participate fully in one of these things, we do not only feel sadness from the absence of one of these joys, but we feel like we are outsiders, not able to live up to the norm of this holiday season. Biblical scholars believe at the time that John's gospel was being written, God's family was experiencing changes in their outsider status. When Rome occupied a land, they allowed the established religion to carry on with their traditions and worship. What Rome did not allow was the rise of any new religion, or what they would call superstition, that may bring with it a military threat to their rule. It was not uncommon for newly converted Jewish Christians at the time to still attend regularly at their synagogues to be with their fellow oppressed peers. However, allowing these Christians to worship posed a threat of persecution to these synagogues. And soon, God's people, in order to protect their families, started to turn away their members who believed in Jesus Christ. And they were cast into the darkness. Barbara Brown Taylor talks about working in new darkness in her book, An Altar in the World. She tells the story of her taking over a farm and the first winter there experiencing a power outage from a storm. Power outages on a working farm are no excuse for giving in to the conditions and curling up with a good book to read. Nope, animals need food and water, and there are plenty of chores to be done. Barbara talks about stumbling around in the dark to milk the cows, replacing the water every so often so it didn't freeze, so her animals had something to drink. She was never more grateful than when the power came back on. She got down on her knees and thanked God for giving her the gift of light. This reminds me of another book, A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge, stumbling around in the cold and dark without participating in the warmth of his community. Then, in his darkest moment, when he foresees his death in a vision, wakes on Christmas, bursting from his bedroom windows, exclaiming to the morning sunlight, "Is it still here? Did I miss it? Is it Christmas?" On Christmas, God gives us the light in the birth of Jesus. Not like the offspring of Greek and Roman gods who burst forth in full adult form from their divine parents. Jesus comes in the form of a baby being born in a barn. Talk about your humble beginnings. I am sure many moms would cringe with me if we stop to think about the baby Jesus being laid in a manger, an animal food trough. Who knows how many diseases had been slobbered in there just moments before? Christ is born a baby, helpless and innocent, just like you and me. This wooden manger reminds us of the wooden cross and of another period of darkness and light looming ahead in the life of Christ. It is really theologically wonderful to be in this space during Christmas. You can stand at your baptismal font, and as you gaze up, you are in direct line with the altar, the nativity, and the cross. Birth, death, and resurrection. The Advent wreath has been slowly getting brighter and drawing us in. The shortening of the days is now over, and the presence of Christ has been growing brighter. It will continue to grow, and in a few weeks, we will celebrate Epiphany, Jesus' baptism and the beginning of his ministry. In the renewal of our own baptismal vows, we renew our life with Christ, becoming dead to sin and darkness and being born into the light and the family of God. We have the beacon of Christ to look back through our periods of darkness, to see what new creation has been developing in us. And we look forward to the renewal of Jesus' baptism. We may see God. We may see where God is calling us to share the light of Christ with others. Merry Christmas.